All right. We appreciate Fox News' coverage here of the events of this day. And now that we know, unfortunately, the tragic ending of the events of this day, we'll continue to watch Fox News Channel. If President Trump or key people within the White House make statements, we will go back to Fox News coverage and hear from them. But this is a time, I think, when it's important for us to come together and for us to open up our phone lines and let you say what's on your heart. And all we'd ask is that you do your best to watch the language, but anything goes today. Steve Hallstrom here, Scott Henin joining me here in studio today. And Scott, I've lost it like three times today. And I feel like last time I got word of a loved one dying unexpectedly, it just the waves hit you all of a sudden. And there's no reason why they hit you when they do, and you just lose it. And I've felt that way three times already today. And I'm sure sometime between now and six it'll hit me again. And I know you feel the same. We're going to try to keep our composure the best we can. You try to compartmentalize it so that we can allow our listeners to have a say. But this is something that you dread. And apparently now it's assassinations of public speakers and broadcasters, not just sitting presidents. It's awful.
Yeah, Charlie Kirk is guilty of one thing, free speech. And for that, he's dead. And that should scare every American, put a chill down their spine. I think it's no coincidence that the name of his organization that he started in a garage in Illinois as a 17-year-old was called Turning Point USA. I don't doubt that he meant that about the youth of America rising up and getting involved in their country again. But today it has a very different meaning. And I fear for the future. I really, really do. I'm very numb to the fact that Charlie Kirk sat behind these very microphones that we're talking into right now. In his four, five, six trips to North Dakota, maybe seven, he was a very gracious soul. In many, many ways, he was a dear friend of ours. You may remember, last thing I want to do is make this about me, but I'll just say he came to Fargo one time and wanted to meet with you and I, and he wanted to hire us. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And to grow his radio show. I mean, and we helped. And his radio show has grown, and his podcast is legendary, and his relationship with the president. If you pressed me to say, if you had to pick one person most responsible for the election of Donald Trump in 2020, it'd be hard to argue that it was anybody other than Charlie Kirk.
It's very possible that Donald Trump is not the president right now without Charlie Kirk. Very possible.
And that is the reason he's dead at 31 years of age with two beautiful children, two beautiful children, and a wife that is just the most amazing person, such a kind, beautiful soul, Erica. It's just... it's unbelievable. I can't even.
No, there's not words today. We give a special welcome to those listening in Western North Dakota on KTGO radio. Normally from 4 to 6 here in Fargo on WZFG, the flag. We do the Steve Hallstrom Show, and we're glad to extend the therapy couch a little further to the west today. There's no words to explain it, no words to understand it, but you may have something that you want to say, and today that might be just to say, let's pray for our country. You might want to say, thank you, Charlie Kirk. It doesn't matter what you want to say. You're welcome to say it here today. We do also want to let you know that if you are within reasonable driving distance of Fargo-Moorhead area, tonight at 7 p.m. at the Newman Center near the campus of North Dakota State University, I think it's just right off 12th Avenue, there will be a prayer vigil today, and Scott and I are going to lead that, and we're going to pray for Charlie's family, and we're going to pray for our country, because you probably, like us, are just shaking your head going, what have we become? What have we become in our country today? So 7 o'clock tonight, I don't know that it'll be long.
Well, I think we're just...
no matter what your religion is,
yeah,
faith, denomination.
Pray. We'll go pray. We'll pray together. Nobody's going to speak. Nobody's going to get up and give a long sermon. We'll just pray together. Yeah, and an important point, the Newman Center is obviously, and there are a number of faith, you know, operations, if you will. I don't know churches, how many of those there are, but there's a number of faith organizations on the campus of NDSU and a very vibrant Turning Point USA chapter and Young Republicans as well, who've invited Charlie and Charlie's team, Riley Gaines and others, to the NDSU campus. So I've already heard from, you know, a number of groups that will be there. But yeah, great point on Steve's part. This is non-denominational. This happens to be held at a beautiful, beautiful chapel at the Newman Center. But all are welcome, please, of all ages, all faiths. Please join us at 7 tonight. And again, no program, just a prayer vigil, and stay as long as you want.
We will, as I said, continue to monitor the network feeds. If there is a statement that's made publicly by President Trump or key members of the White House, we'll certainly do that. Our phone number is 701-271-1100. I have been keeping an eye on the local news scene today to find out if there have been some stories that feel like they're significant enough that we really do need to mention them during the Steve Hallstrom Show today. At face value, nothing seems to rise to what the opportunity, I think, is for us to just provide an opportunity for everybody to come together and grieve a little bit for the next couple of hours. And so we will do that, try to sneak in some news headlines, bottom of the hour, top of the hour updates. We'll let our news team take care of that today. But let's go to the phone lines. And our first caller today on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line is, ironically, a gentleman named Charlie from Fargo. Charlie, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. What a terrible day. I was mowing my lawn. I started getting emotional about it. I actually met, I went to a couple of Charlie Kirk's things. But I am sick and tired of the Democrats and the Republicans that say we have to compromise with them. There are two types of Democrats in this world. Evil and stupid. And you have to decide which one you are, because it's not your grandpa's party or your dad's party anymore. They promote violence. They promote evil transgender stuff, abortion. They are evil. And if you're following that, you're either evil or stupid. I'm done. I don't want, if I had friends that were Democrats, I want nothing to do with them anymore. Nothing. I think the Catholic Church should ban all Democrats that are in their, any denomination that claims they're Christian should ban Democrats from coming to their church anymore. It's a sickness. And we saw the violence today. Don't speak or speak what we want you to speak or we'll kill you. That's their message to America. And I'm sorry, guys, I'm venting, but that's all I have to say. I'm tired of it. Tired of the left.
Yeah, understand the emotions, Charlie. How will you remember Charlie right. Kirk?
Well, he was just, I think he was great for young people. And I had been a conservative. I had my first political argument with my Uncle Harry about McGovern and Nixon way back when. And I felt isolated for a long time, and then came Rush Limbaugh, and then came Charlie Kirk. And it's fun to know that there's other people that share your values, love of country, love of God, and individual rights with individual responsibility. And that's what he promoted to me. Yeah. I will miss him, and I feel so bad for his children.
Yeah. Oh, you know? His wife Erica and the two little
what
ones.
What an animal that could do that.
Yeah.
What an animal.
I want to know, and obviously, there'll be a time here, Charlie, when we'll know more about everything. But I have a hard time believing this isn't some sort of version of what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania. And I'm not going to buy some kid was on the roof with a bunch of, you know, troubled issues. I'm not. There's something bigger at play here. You're going to have a hard time convincing me that's not true.
I agree. There's evil. It's just pure evil in this country lately, and I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Charlie, thanks for giving a call today. Appreciate you, brother. Thanks for chiming in.
Have a good day.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for remembering his wife and kids, too, because right now that's what this is about. And Charlie's got a wicked good team around him. You know, we were in Arizona not long ago with some listeners, and Charlie hosted us at Turning Point USA, a bunch of North Dakotans that were in Arizona.
Yeah.
And they took us all around the Turning Point campus, Steve. Mm. And they've got a faith wing, and they've got a college wing, and they've got a high school wing. And all of these things these people were doing to advance the conservative cause, really more about education and establishing within kids, like, what is your belief set? What do you know about the Constitution? Why should you care?
Yeah.
Right? And a lot of it even nonpartisan. Not go vote for Trump in many of those categories. It was, you know, think. Be a critical thinker. Understand the Constitution. Love America. I mean, that was his message more than anything. So my point is, he's got thousands of people that work for him. And that's his family, too, in addition to our radio audience that's listening to him on this station every day since, I don't know, 4 years now, five? I forget how long Rush has been gone, but he took the Rush Limbaugh seat on these very radio stations.
And Charlie Kirk's message, yes, it was about politics and issues for sure, but I think if you'd ask Charlie, what do you really want to communicate? I think he would talk about Jesus.
He would.
And that's why this is a spiritual warfare issue for me. And I'm not wired to try to figure out causes and who's at fault and, you know, should Democrats or what. I just, my wiring is just to be really sad and think about what we've lost. We had Rush Limbaugh, and he went way too early. And Charlie Kirk was sort of the next Rush. And
he was.
Now he's gone, too. And there will, Turning Point USA isn't going away. I understand that. And there are, thank goodness, we have so many really strong and young and people of color, conservatives. The conservative movement is alive and well and will continue to carry on. But there was nobody like Charlie Kirk.
Yeah,
there wasn't.
And I'll say this. I mean, you're making a very good point. And I would compare him to Donald Trump in that way, in that there'll never be another Donald Trump. There just won't be. His time, his energy, his brain. About the only thing Charlie Kirk did different in his work ethic is he was very good about turning off his phone on Saturdays. He observed a Jewish kind of fasting, even though he was, you know, obviously evangelical Protestant. But, I mean, he had a deep, deep faith. I remember I brought him to the University of Mary for an event. And when we pulled up, he said, oh, this is a Catholic university. He said, I have so much respect for the Catholic faith, 2,000 years. But, you know, he grew up a strong evangelical, sometimes thinking differently than Catholics did. And he had just enormous respect for all faiths and was a faith warrior. It's one of the reasons I'm able to keep some composure here today, because I know where Charlie Kirk
Darn
is.
Darn right we do.
Yeah, I know where he is. Now, I weep for our country. I weep for our radio audience. I weep for his wife and those two beautiful children that he pushed around in a stroller in Arizona. You know,
all he tried to do, Scott, was point people to a better way of life,
right,
whether it was faith or just society, and just stand up for things, ideas that he thought were right. And because of that, he's dead.
Yeah. And
because of it, he's dead.
You couldn't have said it any better. I mean, that's the case. And
words
to Charlie's point, the previous caller. There is a sickness in this country. And I'm not going to say it's Democrats or it's atheist or it's leftist or it's, you know, rhinos. There's a sickness in this country that is evil.
Yes.
It is evil. And until you call out evil for what it is, you're whistling past the graveyard. And that evil is going to consume you. It might not today. It might not tomorrow. It might be a year from now. But this contagion of this evil that somebody can think because of what this guy says, they're going to shoot him in the neck. And by the way, this was a pro.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever shot
sure
him knew exactly
yeah.
what they were doing. You don't put a shot to where they put a shot in his neck. So my point is, we got to have a much bigger issue here. We could have a civil war in the next year over something like this. It is. So I'm going to say this as a fire-breathing MAGA Trump Republican. This is no time for Republican versus Democrat. This is a time of good versus evil. And whatever camp you think somebody's in, pray for them to have a conversion. Pray for them to have a less of a stone-cold heart. That's the only way out of this.
All right, we got full phone lines here. 271-1100 if you're listening on KTGO, The Flag, AM 1090 out in Tioga, Watford City, Stanley, Williston, Minot. We would invite you to join us here in this program today. Give us a call. You don't have to be an expert on anything. You just have to speak from the heart today. Next up on the line is Matt in Moorhead. Matt, good afternoon.
Well, I just wanted to say there is no place in this country for violence, regardless of political beliefs and convictions. I think that there can be a knee-jerk reaction on both sides, Republicans or Democrats, after an awful display of violence to pin the perpetrator into either political party to justify further division and hate. Scott, I agree fully with you. This is good and evil. This is not Republican versus Democrat. I mean, we need to come together. And, you know, I, of course, have differences with a number of speakers, and Charlie Kirk was one of them. He did not deserve any of this. I think of him. I think of his family. And it's just a brazen display of violence, which, again, is worth repeating. It has no place in this country. So, I will be thinking of him and his family. And, again, I really hope that this is where individuals, regardless of, you know, occupation or class or political beliefs, come together and realize that we have to be in it together. And no matter what the stakes are, you know, violence is, it sounds cliche, but it's true. Violence is, it is never the answer.
Yeah, Matt, I appreciate your call today. I know that you typically are someone who stands on the other side of the political aisle. And so I appreciate your comments. It's hard, I think, for many on our side to try to figure out what to make of comments from folks who are on the left or are Democrats, because it feels to us as conservatives like there's some people like yourself that are thoughtful and considerate, and of course that's true. But so many of the words I'm hearing today from Kamala Harris and others, just, you know, we pay our respects and whatever, those words ring empty because we know the vitriol that there is on the left for people like Charlie Kirk. What do we do with that as conservatives?
I think that is a valid question to ask. And, you know,
I mean, Matt, there's a hatred. There's a hatred of people like Charlie Kirk. We didn't like Joe Biden, but we didn't hate him the way people on the left hate people like Charlie
Kirk.
And
I would say the same thing about trans people. I mean, I don't hate anybody. I have a sister who's now a brother. I mean, I know this real in my family, right? And I tell her all the time, I love you. I'll love you forever, no matter what decisions you've made about your, you know, your personal path. But I think the opposite is true. I think trans people hate us. They think they get up every day thinking we as conservatives hate them. They're angry.
Well,
to your point,
you mean,
this is
if I may interrupt, I think that, again, that is totally valid. We are in a political climate right now where on both the right and the left, I'm not going to deny anything that you have just stated. Of course, there are extremists on both sides, but especially on the left, which do have hate and vitriol for the right that may celebrate or at least make, you know, edgy jokes or minimize what actually took place today, which we can call it what it is. It is domestic terrorism. It is the killing of a political leader on the Republican side. We in this political climate, I mean, especially, you know, going online, going on X, you know, formerly Twitter, we are in this place where we're continually sorted into these echo boxes, right, where we're constantly rewarded with more information and more, you know, media that encourages us to be in our same bias, that encourages us to be in our same positions. And oftentimes that continual sorting gets us into some very, very dark places.
Yeah.
You know, which again, I mean, growing up in North Dakota, I'm a third or fourth generation North Dakotan. I have political beliefs that differ from a lot of people. But at the end of the day, who are we? We are people. I have so much more in common with you, Scott, and you, Steve, than, you know, than maybe we might care to admit.
Well, I can tell. Right? I've never talked to you before in my life, Matt, and I'm hearing you for the first time. I know you've called Steve's show before. I'll tell you, I don't hear one ounce of contempt in your voice, and you clearly think very differently than we do. Here's what I'm sad about. I think you represent about 1% of the left in this country.
And here's what
thing I will say is maybe it's 10%, maybe it's 20%, but why are they so quiet? Why are they not saying what you're saying?
And I have to address this because this is very, very important.
Yeah, quickly, though, please. We got full phone lines, Matt. I love the conversation, but we just want to be respectful to others. So quickly, please.
Absolutely. Because what Scott just laid out, oftentimes and very ironically, is what the left feels about the right. Right? They think that, you know, Scott and you, Steve, that you are only 1%. That it is 60, 70, 80% of Republicans who hate the Democrats. right? And this is what I'm saying, is that we are sorted into these situations and these echo boxes that reinforce these negative beliefs. Now, I'm not going to make the case to you that 99% of all the Democrats or all the left-leaning people feel that I do, but I'm going to guarantee you one thing. It is a lot more than a 1%. It's a lot more
than
10%.
Yeah, and what needs to happen now, Matt, is instead of somebody saying, like, Kamala Harris has the first statement out, so I'm going to pick on her. You know, it's terrible.
Don't go there.
It's
now.
Terrible what happened today.
I don't want to hear it.
We pray for Charlie Kirk and his family. No. We need to hear somebody like Kamala Harris come out and say, we need to examine our attitudes on the left to find out how people who don't like Charlie Kirk, who is just out expressing his ideas, was motivated to go out and kill somebody. We need to have that conversation. And until that conversation happens, all these words and platitudes about, sympathies to the Charlie Kirk family, we don't believe them for one minute. We just don't, because there's this whole movement of anything we can possibly do to silence them and go after them. That's what we feel. And maybe some of that's exaggerated by those of us that are on that side, but that's sure how it feels to us. Matt, we got to go, but thanks for the conversation. Appreciate you adding something to the chat today. And I do think about people like Matt in these days, because he does have very different political ideas, but he also is someone who tries to see it in agreeable. I think we don't always have to agree, but we can be agreeable as we do it.
Yeah, no, and that's an appropriate call for today, I think, for sure. By the way, Donald Trump has just ordered the flags in the country at half staff for Charlie Kirk, and they're lowering the flag at the White House at this moment. Can I just say, and I think this is the last day for politics, I think we got to talk about a human being and a father
100%.
Who lost his life because he loved America, and he engaged in free speech. That's what we need to talk about. But I will say this. I grew up with a lot of Democrats in Montevideo, Minnesota. It's a pretty blue area of Minnesota. I sat in parades with Hubert Humphrey and Wendy Anderson. Mm-hmm. Those Democrats are extinct in my viewpoint right now. I don't know where the Kent Conrad, Byron Dorgan Democrats are. Earl Pomeroy. Earl Pomeroy would be sitting in here as a former Democratic congressman from North Dakota, and he would be weeping with us today.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they? And if they're out there, speak. And to your advice for Kamala Harris, don't talk about it. Mean that you want this country to come together. Mean it. And give us the receipts.
And stop acting as though politics is everything. You have nothing besides politics, because that's how it feels. They will do anything. They will try to win at all costs. And when you see something like this happen on a day like today, you say, like you wonder, has this been orchestrated from somewhere, pick your villain on the left. All right, 427, Steve Alstrom Show. That opens up a phone line for you. Thank you, Matt, for giving a call. Let's go next to Ethan, and Ethan's calling from, I still call it the great state of Minnesota, Ethan, even though it's gotten a little goofy in recent years, but we love people in the Gopher State. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing, I suppose.
Yeah.
I want to thank you guys for your wonderful radio show, and my heart goes out to the Kirk family. I just wanted to share my story of how I started listening to the flag, and Charlie Kirk, so my mom has liver disease and kidney disease, and every Monday and Thursday we would, drive to Fargo to, have an appointment for her. And, we would always kind of have this bonding moment, listening to his radio show in the afternoon, and especially during the most recent election. It was amazing how much hope, in the way he talked.
Yes.
It seemed like there was a chance, that this, great country we live in had like more of a chance, because he was able to reach those younger voters and kind of show the other side of the aisle, it's able to have this discourse in a humane way. He brought so much humanity to the conversation, and he was humble, but also he had that fire to actually meet them in the middle. And he was willing to do that. And it's just a shame that he lost his life to this. But like you guys said, this is a spiritual battle. And I think we just need to keep our thoughts and prayers towards his family. And
I can hear the emotion in your voice. I hear the emotion in your voice. And obviously the story you tell gives us a reason why. And that's why I love our listeners, because I don't think a typical radio station has the bond that we do with our listeners. And I see it all the time, and that's what chokes me up. Charlie Kirk is in a good place right now. Mm-hmm. His wife and his children and a movement is not. Mm-hmm. So as a friend who loved the man, in every way you can possibly love another man without it being weird, I love the guy, and I hope he loved me and knew that I loved him. So I can compartmentalize the fact that he is where I believe he is, and I'm praying for the repose of his soul, okay? At the same time, I have a wall here that on the other side of the wall from my belief of where he is to say I'm very scared for this country right now. Because I'm hoping and I'm praying. There's a lot of martyrs in this world who died because of their faith, okay? And I'm hoping that one day we can look back and say, Charlie Kirk died for a very important reason. And maybe he's now a martyr for standing up for what he believed literally at the second he was shot. Okay, because if you haven't heard this yet, there was one question about, I forget what, that went on about 20 minutes. Jason Chaffetz's been talking about this on Fox. And then about 20 minutes into his thing, he'd been standing up, he sat down. Okay, and the next question was something to do with the trans shooter and the Annunciation School, okay? And the minute he started answering that question, he was shot. Now, you can connect those dots or not connect those dots, because he did sit down, and whoever the shooter was, when he's underneath an awning in a little tent, I don't know, maybe he couldn't see him, but it seems like not a coincidence to me. I don't know, but my point is, again, there's a very fine line from talking truth to people who have a very, very, very challenging cross to bear. I'll just say it that way. Who believe mm-hmm. that even though they were born a girl, they think they're now a boy. Or they were born a boy and they think they're not a girl. I love every one of them. As God is my witness, I see them as all God's children. But I also see them as very, very misguided. And that's the kindest way I can say it. And so did Charlie. Okay? He didn't believe that because it was the right conservative thing to say. He believed it because he believed what the Bible teaches us.
It was biblical. That's right.
That's all. So maybe he died as a martyr, and maybe, just maybe, it'll be a turning point where we say, what have we become, people? What have we become? We try and assassinate a presidential candidate because he hands out red hats and say, make America great again? We assassinate a 31-year-old political commentator because of what he believes? So maybe. And I don't know. My kids are texting me right now. My daughter in New York City just texted me, Dad, is there going to be a civil war? She's 22 years old. And I answered back, honestly, I don't know, but that's why we pray.
And that's all you can do. When things don't make sense, it's all you have, and I'm thankful for that, and that brings up again. And Ethan, thank you for the call, buddy. Appreciate you giving us a call, by the way, and being with us.
I'm so sorry. Can I say one last thing?
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for allowing me to. I'm such a big fan of this radio station, and I am happy for what you guys do to, like, the Fargo-Moorhead area. You guys also give me hope just for having a voice for the community that doesn't necessarily have, like, the greatest reach. It's, we kind of get drowned out being conservative-leaning. But I agree with most of what you guys say, but no buts about it. I mean, this is terrible, obviously. But I think more importantly for Charlie Kirk and his legacy, it was the last words he did get to finish before he was shot, which is the words of Jesus Christ and his faith. And to not have that hatred for people that was like aimed at him. You know, you can't return evil with evil.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a very profound, very, very profound point, Ethan. You're exactly right, because he hated no one. Mm-hmm. I mean, he would joke, right? He would joke about people. And I've been with him when he's off the air. I've been in airplanes with him several times. You know, he'd joke around. You know, one of the ones we laughed so hard about was Charlie would sleep on planes.
Ethan, thanks much. We'll let you go, buddy. Thanks for giving us a call.
So he would, this is to Ethan's point, though, that he did speak love. Now, I don't know how many Democrats will believe that, Steve, but they won't. Yeah.
They won't.
And again, I should say leftists.
And he got on, I mean, like we all do, he got on some rants once in a while and got a little spun up.
But he never hated anybody.
But he never hated anybody. No. It never came from a place of, I hate you or whatever. Would he make fun of people? Yes. But there wasn't that, you are evil and you must die.
Yeah.
There wasn't any of that. And unfortunately, that's what ended his life today.
So to finish this story, we're on a plane and Charlie's trying to sleep, but he's so spun up he can't sleep. So, he'd put his head down on a pillow and then he'd get back up and get in a conversation. My wife and I were on a plane with him one time. She was just giggling because he's just like a little kid, you know. And I was actually decompressing. I'm not saying anything, but he's kind of engaging with his team and joking with Maria that I'm wrong and she's right and, having a good time. But here's the funny story. So he's trying to sleep and he can't. And he said, you know what? It's the pillow. It sucks. I said, well, you should get a MyPillow. He said, I did, and they're worse. He said, Mike Lindell is a snake oil salesman. Now, he was joking, of course, but I'm saying somebody would say, oh, he hates on Mike Lindell. He didn't hate anybody, is my point.
Let's bring you up to speed or recap the events of the day. If you're just joining us, I know a lot of people are working that third shift, and maybe your day is just starting, and you're starting out your day. Wow, what a day it has been. Conservative activist and Trump ally Charlie Kirk was shot and killed today at an event at Utah Valley University in Utah. He was answering at the time a question about transgender mass shooters in America. He'd been invited to speak by a student group when, according to a campus police statement, a shot was fired from a campus building about 200 yards away. Witnesses say in video that has been circulating on the internet shows that Kirk was hit on the left side of his neck, was immediately losing a significant amount of blood. He was rushed to a local hospital where he was pronounced dead today about 3:40 p.m. our time. Initial reports from the school were that a suspect was in custody, but that has since been retracted. Authorities are now underway in an intense manhunt for the shooter. They do not have anyone in custody now. The president has come out and made his statement, and many people around the country, key conservative and Republican leaders, have been lauding Charlie Kirk for a way too short life filled with all the kinds of right things to make our country better again. And the president has previously basically come out and said Charlie Kirk is a big reason why he won the presidential election last year. Charlie was 33 years of age, married, and
two precious little children. Two beautiful little children that don't have a dad right now because he died for this country and free speech.
It was the kickoff event of the fall 2025 leg of the American Comeback Tour at the university in Orem, Utah. The tour is a nationwide campus campaign aimed at equipping students with the tools to push back against left-wing indoctrination in academia and reclaim their right to free speech.
And by the way, that tour was scheduled to be at the University of North Dakota on October 9th. And that was because of his love for North Dakota and the Flag family. That's why he came, or scheduled, I'm sorry, a trip October 9th. And the second it was scheduled and on the calendar, he texted me like a little schoolboy about how we're coming back to North Dakota. And it won't happen.
And you have to wonder, of course, now the American Comeback Tour, they'll have to retool and decide what, if anything, happens with that. And you just wonder, was this just a madman who really can't even explain his actions? Or was this intentional somehow? Charlie Kirk, it's the first leg of this tour that he's doing, and let's send a message. We may never know. A manhunt is underway for the suspect right now. All right, it's 4:39 here, and Addison, I think we should sneak in a quick news and weather break here with Scott, are you saying keep going?
I think so. I mean, there's just who wants to talk about anything but this Flag Nation right now?
Okay.
Yeah.
We're producing on the fly.
Yeah,
I don't know. It felt like for somebody wanted to know what was going on locally or weather, but
if anything breaks, we'll let you know. We got a great news team, so if there's anything locally that's happening, we'll certainly let you know. But nationally, this is the only story. And Steve, you should talk a little bit about something that you thought of when this happened immediately, and that was to get people together to pray.
Yeah, we were going to mention that earlier, and then our gentleman on the line wanted to finish one more thing. So I called Scott, after the shooting had happened. He had not yet passed, and I said, Scotty, it feels like we should do a prayer vigil at our building or something like that. And so Scott made a couple of calls, and near the campus of NDSU, where there's a Turning Point chapter, does seem like the perfect place to do this. And so the Newman Center is going to open up its doors. And at 7 o'clock tonight, we're going to hold a prayer vigil where we'll pray for Charlie's family and pray, just as importantly, if not more so, for our country. And where do we go from here? How do we get back to what it used to be when Scott was talking about Democrats and Republicans going to church together on the same team at bowling night? What has happened to us, and what can we do? It really does seem like it's going to take an act of divine intervention at this point. Our country just seems so hateful, so messed up, so addicted, so mentally ill, so hateful, and so incredibly divided that it's only God, I think, at this point that can really move to bring us together again as a country. I don't know how it happens, but God is at his best when things are the most impossible. So we're going to pray tonight for that. 7 o'clock, Newman Center. I think it's on 12th Avenue, kind of the southeast corner of NDSU,
You literally can't miss it. Right on University, and it's actually pretty new and beautiful and big, and they actually have a mass there at 5:15, but tonight at 7, it's totally non-denominational and just come as you are and stay as long as you want. They don't close Catholic churches. They're always open, and especially on Newman Center, so stay as long as you want.
No matter what denomination you are, though, it's not a Catholic-only thing. Just make sure that you know that. Scott and I will probably have a couple of words to welcome people at the beginning, but it'll really just be a chance for us to come together and pray. There's no program. There's nothing. You don't have to say anything if you come there. If you just want to be around people who are praying for our country, well, this might be the place for you. All right, we'll continue to roll through our calls here. We got a full bank. Steve in Fargo wants to talk. Steve, good afternoon.
Hey, guys. So what a tragic, tragic circumstance to, you know, and thanks so much for letting people get on the air and talk about it a little bit. Just wanted to comment on a couple of things and just a word of caution when you talk about, you know, who did this or we had no idea. But Scott, your comment was that this person had to be an expert, and I would respectfully disagree in that. Tragically, rifles, you know, I know a lot about firearms, and it does not take an expert with a rifle from 200 yards to hit, you know, a person. It just doesn't. If he's in a window and he has a rest and that type of thing, tragically, some crazy person that just decided to do this tomorrow afternoon could have pulled that off if they're, you know, so again, hopefully they find out who this is and gets more information, but, we have no idea who did it. And then I just wanted to comment on that gentleman that was mentioned, and he was just jumping up and down mad and was talking about, tragically, he's done with Democrats and, you know, frustrated and lumped them into two categories. And certainly respect and appreciate his frustration, and you know, I'm probably heading that direction. But I think the reality is with the country is there's just people that are being so infuriated because the changes with X, the changes with things that you guys do, the changes with talk radio in general, conservative news media, they do not have a monopoly anymore. And the more people hear about what conservatives believe and what it can do for individuals in the country, the more Democrats lose. But to counter what he said, you don't have to be evil or stupid to be a Democrat. The reality is, and to Scott's point earlier, there's just a whole bunch of people that have been Democrats their whole life, grew up that way. The party changed while they were in it, and they just can't let go of that. They're just, and or there's individuals.
Stop a second there. I want to understand what you just said. When you say they can't let go of that, what do you mean?
it's a cult. Well, let me qualify that. I would call it a cult, but it's a group. It's an organization that they've been through, and they think it's still run by JFK.
I'm gonna use your term, the cult. To me, the cult is is the haters. I mean, it's the
And I
think of what would be traditionally a Democrat. Okay, like think Ken Conrad. Okay, or George Sinner. Our former Democrat. Okay.
Well, I'd agree with Conrad. I had a bunch of interactions with Conrad, and I don't have much respect for the man. I thought he was completely.
I could say the same thing. He was very arrogant. He said one thing here, whatever. But my point is, he was a normal Democrat. You go look at his voting record. He wasn't voting for you know trans stuff or whatever. And he wasn't Hakeem Jeffries, Nancy Pelosi crazy. Okay.
Right. No, totally agree. Totally agree.
So and now Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. Are two examples. In my mind, they either got to dance to Bernie Sanders' tune or, you know, Ilhan Omar or AOC, or they're done. They're over.
Right.
So I don't like anything Chuck Schumer stands for, but he's halfway a normal Democrat. He's just been overtaken from that. So my question to you is, the cult, in my mind, represents 20% of what you and I grew up with as Democrats. Do you agree? That's what I believe. Do you?
Yeah, I don't know. Publicly, it's just like conservatives previously. Publicly, if you are a Kennedy, you know, a JFK candidate, you cannot speak because JFK was Ted Cruz, basically. I mean, I'm not exaggerating.
Almost. Yeah, look at his record on tax cuts. You're exactly right.
Exactly. I mean, he was a pro-life Catholic, wanted to reduce government and taxes. Huh. You couldn't walk into a Democratic National Convention and say that out loud without being thrown through a window, and I'm not exaggerating.
Anyway, I interrupted you. Give me your best closing argument here.
Let me finish my point, and I appreciate it. That there are so many folks that fall into that category where it's always been that way, our family, our whatever, and they're refusing to accept the fact, to that person's point, that the Democratic Party that they knew does not exist anymore. It's gone. It's gone wackadoodle. It's gone AOC. It's gone Bernie, all of that stuff. But the other huge constituency of it are the people that are receiving the stuff. And some of the stuff is very good. And I would go so far as to say the vast majority of it is well-intended. But if you're getting stuff from the government, whatever it is, you're going to do whatever you can to keep that coming. You're dependent on it. And that's the challenge that we have, is that when you try to push people to self-dependence, it's a really hard push, and they will put up with crazy stuff to keep those benefits coming. And I hope we can move that.
I hear you, and you make a good point. You're intellectual about this. You're thinking a lot of things everybody's thinking. I don't know if today's the day for that conversation.
Fair enough.
I don't. I think today it's just like, you know what I'm thinking? Honestly, when I have a 22-year-old daughter texting me, is there going to be a civil war? I'm thinking, okay, it's time to pump the brakes here. It's time to pump the brakes and find normal conservatives and normal liberals and normal Republicans and normal Democrats, and everybody's going to define that differently, and say, can we just love each other? And if you believe Donald Trump is really, really bad, fine. Go for it. I'm going to believe he's doing some great things, but we're still going to love each other. Either that, or I'm going to have to answer my question to my daughter very differently. You know, that's the premises we're on. So I don't want to talk about, you know, why they're crazy or how they're crazy. I don't. But, I mean, the show's for you guys, so I appreciate the comments, Steve. And I hope
thanks for the time. I really appreciate it. God bless Charlie Kirk. This is an absolute tragic day for the country.
It sure is. We'll get out of the way here and just let you go. Fred in Fargo is waiting next. 701-271-1100. Fred, tell us what's on your mind.
I think a lot of what goes on lately is leadership. And what I mean by that is the Democrats in the last 8 years, Nadler, Schumer, Schiff, Maxine Waters, Mazie Hirono, these different individuals who spew hate and anger and stir their people up. There's no consequence for any of that. And then when something happens, they're non-existent. Or as you said earlier, whatever they're going to say is there's no feeling. And I find that really fascinating. But there's no consequence. Schumer, you know, with the justices years ago, things of that nature. And I think that makes a lot of this happen. I think people really believe what they say, and they do what they do. And it's unfortunate. It really is, because to see, or actually to hear, excuse me, what went on today when I turned the radio on. And I have to honestly say it doesn't surprise me, which is unfortunate. But it's just how, I mean, it's tragic. And nobody will ever take responsibility for what it is that they're doing behind the scenes.
No, very true. Do you remember the Oklahoma City building bombing? Remember that?
Oh, yeah. The FBI, yep.
Do you remember who was blamed for it?
I do not.
Rush Limbaugh. Bill Clinton, yeah, Bill Clinton blamed Rush Limbaugh for Timothy McVeigh because he was a right-wing extremist who put bombs in a truck, right? So could I say the same thing now about the rhetoric on the left causing the death of Charlie Kirk? Do we call this an assassination or murder? I don't know what we call it, but I think it's an assassination. And, right. You know, you could, but I say this after every school shooting. I say the problem isn't the gun. The problem isn't even the vessel that is the shooter of the day. It's a cold stone heart.
Well, sure.
And until you melt cold stone hearts, this stuff is going to continue to happen, which, as much as I love Charlie Kirk and as much as I was shocked when our operations manager, Jeff Thaden, called and said, Charlie's been shot. I'm like, no. He said, yeah. I said, is he okay? He said, we don't know. You got to be kidding me, right? But I got to tell you, Fred, like you said, a part of me was not shocked. I was shocked when it happened to Donald Trump. I was like, no, this, I mean, I remember I was at a family reunion of mine and I'm watching this like this didn't just happen. But sadly, this is not a surprise anymore. So we gotta melt some cold stone hearts. And yeah, I don't care what political flavor they are. That's what we got to do.
Yeah, there was something I heard years ago similar to that. Until you can figure out what ails the human heart, well, tragedies will always happen. And, I mean, how do you do that? Where do you start when there's just so much rhetoric and noise on a daily basis? So,
appreciate you, Fred. I appreciate you sharing it. Thank you. Steve just told me that there's going to be an update from officials on the Kirk assassination at 5 p.m. our time. We know that there's a manhunt underway for the assassin. There was some erroneous reports earlier about a guy who was in a light blue shirt, balding, that they said they had the suspect in custody. Wasn't him. So they evidently don't know. But Addison, keep an eye on that for Steve and I. And we'll keep going on the calls here and let you talk in the meantime. Get you in here because we have 8 minutes. So let me get Paul in Lake Park, Pete in Fargo, and Hal in West Fargo in here. Paul, go ahead.
Well, first, I just got to say, the previous caller just said what I was going to say. But when I heard the news, I was down in my basement taking a break from working outside, and I was cooling off, and I heard it on the radio. But when I went outside again to start working again, and then they said that he died. When I came up on the deck, my significant other was crying. And she says, what's wrong with this country?
Yeah.
And I came downstairs, and when I walked downstairs, I was wobbly because I'm a big fan of Charlie Kirk. I listen to you, Scott, every morning. And I'm sorry, but I think that it's the rhetoric of the left, Maxine Waters and Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi and the rest of them. They keep telling their people, their followers, to get into their faces, get into the Republicans' faces and, do this, do that. And I mean, they made threats to Republicans. And look what happened to Steve Scalise. It's always somebody that's on the left that does a shooting. I'm not saying all, but over 90% is the left shooting the conservatives.
I can't disagree with anything Fred said, Steve. It's hard to, but I just don't know today's the day to go there. I hear you. Because go ahead.
You're talking to Paul. You're talking to Paul now.
Well, I know I'm talking to Paul, but Steve's here too, and I'm just looking at Steve. We're both listening to you intently, and I'm hearing what you're saying, and I can't disagree with what you're saying. I'm just saying, is today the day to say the left did this? Their language did this. Now, because guess what?
No. I didn't say no, but you know what? When they find this guy, and they did do a lockdown on that campus, and if he was 200 yards away, he's on the campus. So hopefully
good.
He didn't get out of the campus.
I hadn't heard that. I hadn't heard that, by the way. But even
there's not been anyone arrested. But, there was initially a person was detained, but they've not found any
secondary. But if they did a lockdown, he's right. I mean, there's a fighting chance they'll get him, right? I would hope so.
Depending on how fast they were able to get that installed and depending on how fast the gunman got away.
Lee Harvey Oswald got out too. So it can happen. But even, Paul, if they find him right now and they're going to tell us in 5 minutes they found him, I can't look into his heart and know whether or not Nancy Pelosi or AOC or Bernie Sanders' hate for Donald Trump caused him to do it.
But their rhetoric is dangerous.
It is. You couldn't be more right.
And they gotta tone it down a little bit because they're always doing that constantly.
Yep.
So they've got to calm down their rhetoric because it's not good. And I agree about the Democrats. Back in the 60s and 70s, they're not the Democrats of today. My mom and dad were Democrats.
No, it's changed. It's changed in such a profound way.
And I said this earlier, politics, it's on the left. And I can say this because I've done my own, introspection on the right. But politics on the left, it's an all or nothing game. It's all they have.
It's a blood sport.
Religion. It's a blood sport. It is zero sum. And we've seen just the escalation of the things, the IRS being targeted to conservatives. And, we've seen, all the Russiagate stuff and every scandal. It was like people playing games that they've never wanted to play before. And all of a sudden, we're going to do everything we can to derail a sitting president or derail a candidacy. And
it's a sickness.
I don't know. Do people on our side, Scott, do we talk like they do?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Some do. I've got my texts are blowing up saying you're a wussy. We need to take these people out, Democrats. So, there's some that do, but I don't think it's prevalent. I don't think it's, my point is this. All I know is whoever assassinated Charlie Kirk today has a cold stone heart. That's all I know. There's no other explanation for it. So I'm not going to try and sit here today and psychoanalyze people, but I agree with everything Paul said. They need to stop it. They absolutely need to stop it.
And we don't see Republicans or conservatives trying to gun down Al Sharpton or whoever the Charlie Kirk equivalent is left.
They will say that, a conservative went into a Muslim sanctuary and he did, and then they blow that up. And meanwhile, Christians are being persecuted around the world and it's silence. So, the media is very, very culpable in this. I see him as the useful idiots in all this. But it's just a topic for another day. Paul, appreciate the call. Let's whip through these, Steve, because we do have a press conference coming up in a minute. So Pete Fargo's next. We'll go in order if you're waiting here. Pete Fargo, Hal West Fargo, and John driving through. Pete, go.
Hey, guys. Biggest thing for me is I'm a Christian. And when you look at proselytizing, you might say, the most effective way I've found to do that is through relationship. And Charlie Kirk had the ability to, on a large scale, kind of create relationship with many people through his public speaking and through his radio show and stuff.
Yes.
But I think about how can we continue the good? Because we can argue so many things, but how can we continue the good? Because we just lost a great thought leader in the conservative movement. The way we can do it is by having those personal relationships with people we don't agree with and be kind, but also be willing to share what you believe and do it in a heartfelt way that transforms hearts and minds. Because I've got a big voice. I can yell louder than most people, and I'm a big dude. I am scary. I can scare most people. But when I speak quietly and look them in the eye and give them my reasons, it's hard to argue with me.
You're so profound, Pete.
Not because of my size.
Right.
That's not because amazing. I'm scary looking.
Yeah.
Well, and Scott has done this too, and I try to do it whenever I can. I welcome people to come on the show that don't agree with me. I had the transgender state rep from St. Paul, Lee Finke, on the program, and we had a very cordial conversation. I had some honest things to say about it, but I felt like you know, we could at least be honest with each other and have a disagree without being disagreeable. And we just need so much more of that. You're 100% right.
And you brought another good point. I'll leave you with this. We have to be honest with people, and we have to continue personally to do the right thing. In all of our sphere, do the right thing. So when they come back and they look at us, like they're doing with Charlie Kirk now, they can say, he did the right thing. Was he perfect? Absolutely not. Nobody was perfect. Jesus Christ was the only perfect person that ever walked the face of the earth.
Amen.
But did he try to do the right thing?
I have sitting next to me a business partner who says multiple times a month, clear is kind. Clear is kind. That's what you just said, Pete. You're not sugarcoating anything. You're not, I kind of agree with you, even though I don't, to try and make them feel better. Kind is being clear of what you believe. Very well said, Pete.
There's a saying in the church thanks, Pete. In the church we use, speak the truth in love. And I had to tell Lee Finke that I thought that the things that he was behind were evil, but I didn't think he was an evil person. I thought he was just being deceived by the evil one who's really good at that. And it wasn't personal. I would gladly go out for a beer with Lee Finke or anybody else who looks at life from a different standpoint. It might be an awkward conversation, but you know what? I don't really think so, because you can say pretty much whatever you want to say to somebody if you start with a respectful tone instead of shouting. And we need so much more of that. And I would say to our friends on the left, we absolutely need way more of that coming from the left, because it feels like either you agree with me or I hate you and you're evil.
It is 5 o'clock. This is The Flag, WZFG, Dilworth, Fargo, Moorhead, USA, and KTGO, Tioga, Watford City, Williston. We're expecting an update from officials on the shooting of Charlie Kirk, dead at 31 years of age from a bullet from an assassin on a college campus in Utah, because he decided to go there and talk to students using something called free speech. It's a sad day in America. Hal in West Fargo, you're next. And just so you know, Hal, and then John, but we will break away and have to put you on hold if this press conference starts. And one other thing, 2 hours from now, 7 p.m., at the Newman Center on the campus of NDSU, there will be a prayer vigil. So please know there'll be a prayer vigil, and people of all faiths are welcome to come pray with us. There will be no program. We'll be there praying. But we want to see you there. Okay? So, Hal, West Fargo, you go next.
Scott, I wanted to thank you. I can't remember whether it was 3 or 4 years ago. Charlie Kirk was coming to Fargo, and I won a couple tickets from 1100 The Flag. And I was trying to figure out who I'd take to. And I approached my oldest brother, who's kind of a quiet character and didn't speak out a whole lot. But he was eager to go see Charlie Kirk. He listened to him on The Flag quite a bit and wanted to be involved. And on the way, he went and had told me about the Biden administration wanting to raise taxes on the farmers and so on, which had amounted something like 40 to 60% of a tax increase on the burden on them at a time when crop prices were way down. And, he wanted to get that point across and asked me if I would go ahead and see if you could pass that note on to Charlie. And when I approached you, you said, no, Hal, you can do it yourself. I'll call you up first up for Charlie. And so I was able to get up and bring that across to him. And it seemed like after that, you know, Congress kind of realized what a burden it would be on farmers and small businessmen, and the it just didn't hit the girl daily. The bill was killed, and those people are able to survive for another day.
Well, you have a memory to hold on to, Hal. I'm glad you do, and appreciate your call very much today. Yeah, thank you. Great story. And you know, Charlie was like that. I remember we were trying to rush him out of the Avalon to some other event, and there was a fellow there by the name of Rumed Elijah Penske. And he had service dogs, and he must have had 30 flipping dogs running around, and it was total chaos. Charlie saw the dogs, and he went into his van and hung out with the dogs. And I'm losing my marbles because we're already late. Do you remember that?
Yeah, Charlie was taking a chance he didn't realize, by the way, jumping into that van.
That was Charlie. He didn't care. He loved dogs.
He did not care. No? And he loved people.
Yep. John, driving through the area, wants to weigh in here at 701-271-1100. John, you're up.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show. Hey, you know, there's an absolute tragedy today. You know, three kids in Colorado are in critical condition from a shooting. And I understand that we're making a martyr out of Charlie and we're talking about the politicization of things. But listen, we got to get beyond this. For every Charlie Kirk, you got Gabby Giffords. You got two Minnesota congressmen that were shot. And we don't even know who the shooter is yet, but everyone's jumping to conclusions. So I think we need to get to a point where, whether you're left like me or right like you, we've got to get to a neutral standpoint when we look at these things objectively. I agree with you. But I think it's dangerous to say, oh, it's people on the left that are always shooting people on the right, and vice versa. It's people on the right, they're always shooting people on the left. Because, listen, the bodies have stacked up for decades, and we can find examples and go tit for tat. My fear is that what happened today, which is terrible, might lead to escalation and more of these things being politically motivated. That's what we really need to focus on right now, is how to prevent this from escalating and getting out of control. So that's my take.
Yeah, hard to argue with what you're saying. And by the way, the three kids in Colorado today, we don't know their names, but their souls are every bunch as much in our thoughts and prayers today as Charlie Kirk is. But Charlie Kirk leads a movement, okay? So obviously you're going to talk about somebody in that category. It'd be like Donald Trump being, you know, the attempted assassination, and you're saying, well, a guy just got shot in Chicago. Why aren't you talking about that? Well, I think that's like a kindergartner could figure out why there's a difference between why you talk about this and that. So I do push back a little bit on the chastising us because we're not talking about the kids in Colorado. That's obviously you know, sad and tragic, but it's a different story. The other thing I'd say to you related to jumping to conclusions, I think Steve and I are trying very hard not to do that right now. And maybe that's not coming across. Some of the listeners maybe, but do me a favor, John. Since you are a self-described Democrat and think differently than we do, preach what you're talking to the other side. Because I just lived through I don't know how many events where every time a gun, school shooting happens, it's immediately. I mean, the bodies are not even out of the school, and you have Democrats rushing to cameras to try and raise money to grab guns. So what you're describing happens, in my eyes, a lot more on the left to the right, but it happens on both sides. So please preach that to your side as well. Is that fair?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I live in rural Oregon. We're not anti-gun. I hear exactly what you're saying. And by the way, I didn't mean to imply that you were doing this. I'm just saying, if you look right now on the internet, everyone's politicizing this event. So it's not you. I just think that we need to reserve judgment. But I almost wish we could put this into a neutral container when these things happen.
Yes.
Instead of trying to blame Antifa or trying to blame the Proud Boys, we've got to get beyond that because we have a violence problem in America, period. It doesn't matter what side you're on.
100% right. And you're right, John. And we try very hard. Scott said a bunch of times, that's not for today to talk about those things. It's a natural output of an emotional traumatic day to say, how did this happen? And I think we've probably taken a step or two down that path, but have tried to pretty quickly fence that off and say, you know what, it's not for another day. But it is, to Scott's point, a political commentator who I would argue is more of a biblical commentator than a politician was killed for his beliefs today. So it just makes you naturally ask, why have we come to the political point we have in our country? But you're 100% right. We should, yeah, on days like today, and that happened recently when we had an event, and I said, hey, this is not the day for this. We've got to wait to have these conversations. Today is just a day to be sad and to be and to reflect and pray for the family that he has left behind. Yeah. So. Yep, fair points today.
Thanks, John.
Okay, appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Call again. Appreciate it very much. He said he was driving through. I don't know where he's from, but download the Flag app.
Oregon, he said.
Yeah, you're right. He did. Yeah. So he's rural Oregon and driving through, and we appreciate the call. And I don't know what talk radio is like in Oregon, but download the Flag app and bring us back to Oregon. Why don't you? I just saw one of the saddest pictures in this whole thing today, and he just talked about social media, and my phone is blowing up from all kinds of people, and I appreciate it. A lot of people know that. You know, Charlie was a friend of this radio station and our entire team. So it is a hard day for us, no doubt about it. And listeners are saying very kind things and friends are saying kind things. And a lot of you are saying you got to go look at social media and what they're saying right now. And I can't and
nope.
I won't.
No,
nope. I mean, I'm doing a fast at least for 24 hours from any, you know, Facebook post, Instagram. I don't care. please, now is not the time to do it. I posted one thing about this, and I said, pray. That's all I said, and that's in my mind.
Yeah, mine was, please, God, no.
Yeah.
That's after he got shot.
Yeah, exactly right. But I just saw the saddest thing that I've seen all day. Fox News is doing a little tribute right now. They're showing the White House with the flag at half-staff. Officials will be talking soon, and we'll find out more about the investigation. But they're rotating pictures on the screen. And they just showed Charlie and Erica and those two beautiful babies. And please, can we think about that today? There'll be plenty of time to think about everything else.
Mm-hmm.
We got to think about a mom and two kids that are not going to have a husband and a father as a result of this.
All for what?
Yeah.
All for what? Because Charlie Kirk had opinions that somebody didn't agree with.
It's awful. Jason, West Fargo, you're next while we wait for this press conference. Go ahead, Jason.
There's one thing I noticed right out the gate is they're talking about gun control already. You know, they're talking about this is a, you know, an expert shooter from long range. You know, it's like you're talking about the agendas that are being talked about. That's all I'm hearing all over yeah. Social media.
It never ends, Jason. It does. I mean, every day there's some new movement about grabbing the guns, and Tim Walz wants to do it in Minnesota. The mayor of St. Paul wants to do it in St. Paul, and they feel like making a new law that you can't have a certain gun is going to end this problem. Or make a difference. And
I had a debate with Keith Ellison about this week. Did you hear the Keith Ellison conversation?
Yeah.
And again, he thinks it's the gun. He's the mm-hmm. Democratic Attorney General of the state of Minnesota saying everything you just said. That's what he believes. Yep. And in my view, maybe this is controversial. I don't think he even believes it. I don't think he believes it. I think it's all a political game to curry favor with crazy gun grabbers. I don't think you can't be that stupid to think the problem is the gun and not the cold stone heart. You can't be that stupid.
No, yes, they can. There's a lot of them that are. It's agenda driven. You know, it's like they're saying that the shooter
driven.
Was 200 yards away.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you know where he was at, but you can't catch him? You know, and it's like they're saying, oh, it was a high power rifle. How do you know that? Like, I heard this shot. I was in the military for 22 years. I'm like, I can pick out calibers, and I couldn't tell you what it was.
Yeah, there's a lot of money behind having you say the right things on camera or on microphone. I'll say that, too.
Yep.
And by the way, I got to say this. You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, some of the people that we consider conservative fire breathers.
I love MTG.
I do, too. But guess what? She's on Facebook saying all kinds of crazy things that you and I probably agree with that probably need to be said, but she's doing it for one reason.
Not today.
No, she won't be today. But you know what? She's doing it to fundraise, too. This is a political game. The biggest bomb throwers, and I'm trying to say this, it happens on the left and the right. There's a lot more of them on the left, but it happens on the right, too. And they do it to fundraise. They do it for more followers.
Yeah.
They do it so Fox News will call and say, will you shout on TV, too? And we got to be thinking about this in all of this conversation, because while I believe in my heart of hearts, the left does this way, way more. It's like we talked about this earlier. It's a blood sport for them. Now, a few conservatives say, hey, we got to fight fire with fire, and they do it too. I just think there's so many more that do it on the left that they really do motivate a very deranged, evil element that think like them to go do things like that happened today. I do believe that happens.
I have a harder time getting linear with that than you do. But I know what you're saying. It doesn't help. But can I go to Nancy Pelosi and say, you are the reason that Charlie Kirk is dead? That's hard for me, too. But when there is a big groundswell like that, you have to ask those questions. I get that.
Anything else, Jason?
No, that was it.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah, appreciate it. Bismarck listener Dana is next while we wait this press conference on the very latest. I see people at the podium not talking yet, adjusting microphones and getting ready. So it'll be happening here. We will go to it live. And Addison.
Let's remind everybody about the Newman Center tonight, too, one more time.
Go ahead.
Yeah, tonight at 7 o'clock, Newman Center, campus of NDSU or close to it, the southeast corner of campus. There at 7 o'clock tonight, we're going to get together and have a prayer vigil. We're We're going to pray for Charlie's family. We're going to pray for our country. This will not be political. It will not be denominational. It will just be asking God to be real to the Charlie Kirk family, and also that we would heal in our country and somehow, some way, get to a point where people aren't killed for their political ideas, and that we can somehow begin to build some bridges in our country when there's so there's such a great chasm between all of us. And so that's what we're going to do. And there's not going to be any speeches made. Scott and I will welcome people and open up the microphone and just allow people to pray. So if you are a praying person or you just find comfort in the company of those who do, we would invite you to join us. If there's five of us, we don't care. We're gonna ask God to open up the heavens and come down and be with us, our community, and our country, because we need it today.
And we'll let Mike Levin take over probably 6 o'clock or so we can get over there. He'll obviously do I can even imagine what Mark Levin's going to say tonight, and it'll probably be the most profound thing said by anywhere on any broadcast entity anywhere. We'll want to have his take on all of this as well tonight at 6 o'clock. And I just had Mark on last week with us on the air. He's a God-fearing guy. You know, he just is a good man, and I know that he's going to be very mad and very angry. But he's going to have some wise words tonight for us to share.
I can't believe this happened, Scott.
I can't either. And by the way, I wasn't going to watch social media, and I'm not. But someone that I trust just texted me that J.D. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois,
I don't even want to hear,
said that what happened today was Trump's fault.
No, he didn't.
That's what this
Tell me
said.
He's not dumb enough to have said that.
Well, I think you know the answer to that question.
Tell me.
He's a special kind of dumb, but I just can't believe you'd say it out loud in the middle of something like this. It's just unbelievable. Dana Bismarck, you're next on what is this show called? The Steve Halston Show. I forget.
It doesn't matter what it is. Yeah. It's all about you today, people, a friend who's listening and calling in.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, I just want to send prayers and condolences to Charlie's family.
Mm-hmm.
And here you got a Christian man who was standing up for the people, just like John F. Kennedy. And he had to pay the ultimate price also.
Mm.
But I know he's got a lot of people that cared about him. You can tell by the people that are talking and saying things. And I just want him to know that we're all praying for him,
yes,
for the family.
Thank you, Dana.
That's all.
Well done.
That's all I got, buddy.
That's all you need to have today. Well done.
701-271-1100 is the number. Mark in Grand Forks is next up here. We are waiting for a press conference for the latest on the investigation. As far as we know at this moment, the shooter is still at large.
That's correct.
That's all we know.
There was someone taken into custody early, right away, but they quickly determined that this person was not a suspect. Let him go.
Correct.
So it's a big manhunt now. And there has also been a report that the campus was locked down so that they could search for the killer. But we don't know how quickly that happened or if the killer was able to get away.
Exactly. Mark in Grand Forks next at 701-271-1100. Turning the show over as best we can here to the listeners. We have a lot to say, yeah, but we're really honestly more interested in what you have to say and just sort of grieving together through this tonight. Mark, go ahead.
Hey, guys. So obviously a dark day for our nation, losing Charlie. I was just talking with a friend of mine about this. And to me, I mean, he was, you know, certainly way, way, way more intelligent than me. And we've all been in discussions before where somebody, you know, it's all about winning the argument, you know, seemingly when you talk to some people, it's more about winning the argument. But the sense that I always got from Charlie was that, yes, he could win an argument, but he also showed people that he cared about them and tried to direct them to Christ. And I think that's the best testimony a person could have for his work. And I think we as a country, and Steve, you mentioned it earlier, talking about, you know, we as a country need to get, it's a spiritual issue, and we need to get back to God and Christ. And I believe that. It reminds me of, well, I wasn't around, obviously, but in the Civil War, somebody asked Abraham Lincoln if he thought that God was on the Union side. And his response is one that I think that's appropriate today. He said, it's not so much that I think God's on our side or anybody's side necessarily, but we need to look to see if we're on God's side.
Mm-hmm.
And look back to really what are our beliefs? What are our stands all about? And if it doesn't align with godly principles, then we're on the wrong side of things. And so I think that we as a nation, that would be a lesson that we could all learn today, is look at this, hey, are we on God's side of this? You know, rather than, you know, do we disagree politically? Yeah, maybe. Are we on different sides on specific issues? Sure. But if we can come together and just say, hey, we're all Americans here, and where are we aligned? What is the basic truth that we want to get to? And if we can get back to that, I think we can remedy a lot of these issues rather than just, well, they checked a box on a piece of paper for a political candidate that doesn't really care about them either.
Yeah.
Then I have to hate them because of that. Well, no, that's the wrong answer. So I guess my hope and my prayer for our country is that we can get back to looking at biblical godly truths and get back to that. That's ultimately going to be the answer. And in the meantime, you know, I thank the Lord for Charlie and
right there with you.
And his testimony of,
yep.
of knowing Christ. And I pray for his family, and may God heal our nation.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah, thanks so much for calling in.
And I do want to thank Mark for bringing up Lincoln in a very challenging time in this country's history. And I don't think it's hyperbole to say we're at a similar turning point.
Yeah.
I really, really do. Because this can go one of two ways. It really can. And all I can do is read a history book and watch the movie Lincoln, and everybody should go watch the movie Lincoln. Even if you've never read a book, go watch the movie Lincoln, rent it tonight, and see A Troubling Time, and see if you see any parallels to what's happening right now.
Yeah, to Mark's point, I am completely convinced that God is not a Democrat or a Republican or a Baptist or a Methodist or a Catholic or any of the factions or clubs or the Sharks and the Jets that we want to say, well, God must be on our side. I don't think God takes sides very often. I think God cares about individual people and individual hearts. And there are certain groups that obviously line up better or worse with what the Bible teaches us. But it doesn't mean that, you know, who's the enemy of the minute? J.B. Pritzker. God doesn't love me or Scott or Mark or anybody who's on this program any more than he loves J.B. Pritzker. And I think we get caught up in that sometimes in the religious conversations about, well, God must be on our side. I will admit to you that on the political side, it's hard for me to figure out how God is going to bless the Democrat Party. But I still believe there are good, solid Christians on the Democrat Party who believe politically what they believe for some reason that I can't explain, and maybe they can't either. But I don't think God takes sides.
I appreciate the call very much. Our listeners are very profound. You said way better than we ever could. Let's go to Aaron and Rosse next. Aaron, Craig, and Jared, you're on deck here, so stay tuned. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hi. I just had a couple personal stories to share about Charlie Kirk and myself. In high school, I did some activism, and I attended a couple Turning Point events, one in Newport Beach, California, and one in D.C., and I remember I was 17 years old, kind of awkwardly in the hotel lobby, just kind of waiting for the bus to come for us to all go to the very event, the conference that, you know, it was separate venues. And in comes Charlie Kirk, just kind of standing around the hotel lobby. And he could tell that I was with the group because I had the lanyard on, and he was welcoming and started a conversation, took pictures. And fast forward 3 years, I'm at the Western Conservative Summit in Denver and at the Colorado Convention Center, and I run into Charlie Kirk in the bathroom, of all places, and just as personable, a little starstruck, but then he took an hour just to sit and talk with the college group I was with out of his busy, busy schedule at the at that summit. And he knew he was dedicated to his work. And this is not to use over a dumb phrase, but this is a turning point.
It's not a dumb phrase. It's not a dumb phrase at all. It's the name of his organization, for crying out loud. It's very profound today.
It's I think he understood that later. I think as the years went on, as multiple election cycles would go happened, that this is a spiritual battle we're in. Where I love what you said, Steve, about God does love J.B. Pritzker just as much as he loves all of us. It's either we're going to, your soul is going to be set free from the bondage of the hate and the idolatry of the enemy that you choose, or you're going to get you're going to be set free. You're going to have to choose Christ or not. And I just pray that this will be a moment where us folks on the right could use this as an opportunity to not satisfy maybe some people's desire for us to be violent or angry, but to just show a kind of Christ-like love that they won't understand, but could point them to what their souls really long for. Because you know, the Nashville shooter or St. Paul shooter or anyone else, these are screams for help that we need to recognize as a church. And just now's the time to take action with the gospel in public life, because there's no political solution to this.
That's great points. Great points. Appreciate it, Aaron. And you know what else? That's how Charlie believed. Everything you said, Charlie would say amen, amen, amen to you 100%. And I love your story about interacting with him, because he's probably been here. I don't know how many. I've lost count how many times we brought Charlie here to North Dakota, 5, 6, 7. He was the commencement speaker at Johnson's Corner School.
Mm.
And guess how many graduates there were?
Yeah, 9?
1.
Okay.
He went to Johnson's Corner School and did a commencement speech for one person. You know, and you know what else? I've been with a lot of people over the years that come in and speak, and, you know, Candace Owens, Rush Limbaugh. I could go down a long list, political folks, whatever. And most of them, like, they want a green room. They don't want to be with the crowd. Mm-hmm. Charlie didn't want any of that. He's just as happy sitting like he was with you shooting the bull in the bathroom. You know, I mean, that's he was real. Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate you. Jared in, I'm sorry, Craig in Moorhead, and then Jared in Moorhead. Go ahead, Craig. You're next on the program while we await this press conference today with continuing coverage on the flag, East and West. Thank you for listening.
I'm going to make this quick. I'm praying for his family. I'm devastated. Last time I felt numb like this was when I was 25 years old in 1980 and John Lennon was shot. This is totally devastating. Thank you.
Well said. It is. There's nothing you can say today. There just isn't. I still can't believe it. Scott, we woke up this morning and it was just a regular. We're going to wake up tomorrow and Charlie Kirk's not going to be on the radio tomorrow.
Yeah.
Nor is he going to be coming home to his wife and kids, which is way more important.
And by the way, here we are in the radio business, and what Steve, my business partner, just said hadn't even occurred to me about Charlie Kirk's not going to be on the radio tomorrow. And I heard him today. I heard him yesterday with a profound conversation about the dad who took the baseball away from his son to give to the crazy lady. And very profound. The news conference is starting. Let's go to that live now. Jim and Fargo, Jared and Moorhead, you're up after this press conference. Let's go ahead.
Hello, everyone. I'm Bo Mason, Commissioner for the Utah Department of Public Safety. Today at approximately 12:20 Mountain Standard Time, political influencer Charlie Kirk was shot at an event at the Utah Valley University. He was taken by private vehicle to Timpanogos Hospital, where he later passed. The Utah Department of Public Safety will be co-leading this criminal investigation to find this killer, along with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We are working in unison with the County Sheriff's Office, the local police department, and the University Police Department, all of which have been very cooperative and fully engaged in this process. Shortly after the shooting, we did have a suspect in custody, George Zinn, but he was released from custody after we identified that he did not match the shooting suspect and was not an accurate person of interest. However, he has been booked into the county jail by Utah Valley University Police Department for obstruction of justice. We do still have an active investigation for the person of interest. This incident occurred with a large crowd around. There was one shot fired and one victim. While the suspect is at large, we believe this was a targeted attack towards one individual. This is a tragic moment in our state and in our country. As we heal, we encourage everyone who is struggling with news of the incident to call 988, our state mental health crisis line. In addition to that, our partners with the FBI will also be discussing other ways we can communicate through the public for tips and other information. Thank you.
Good afternoon. On behalf of the FBI, we extend our sincerest condolences to the family and friends of Charlie Kirk. Our thoughts are also with the people who witnessed this traumatic event. We know that what you experienced was very difficult. Our thoughts are with you as well. As soon as we heard about the shooting, special agents and personnel from the Salt Lake Field Office responded immediately. We have full resources devoted to this investigation, including tactical, operational, investigative, and intelligence. To be clear, the FBI will fully support and co-lead this investigation alongside with our partners. We are working on setting up a digital media tip line, and as soon as it's established, we'll get that information out to everyone. I know there's a lot of questions. This is very much an active case, and this investigation is in its early stages. We are following all the leads and all the evidence. If anyone has any information, please report it to the FBI.
Just going to break in quickly here, because while the FBI official in Utah is telling us they're on the hunt for the shooter, Kash Patel, the FBI director, has just said there's a suspected shooter in custody. Don't know if that's true or not, but let's go back to the press conference.
We are shocked and saddened by the tragic passing of Charlie Kirk. We express our sincere condolences to the Kirk family. We grieve with our students, faculty, and staff who bore witness to this unspeakable tragedy. He was invited by the student group Turning Point USA to speak on our campus. We firmly believe that UVU is a place to share ideas and to debate openly and respectfully. Any attempt to infringe on those rights has no place here. We do not condone any form of violence at UVU and seek to make our campus a safe place for all.
While Scott was commenting on that, we missed the introduction. That was the president of Utah Valley University.
Thank you for joining us on this dark and tragic occasion.
This is the governor.
I want to thank our law enforcement officers who are leading this investigation, starting with Chief Long and his response here with the UVU Police Department. We're grateful for your leadership and your team. And again, to the speakers that you've just heard from who are co-leading this investigation, I also want to recognize Sheriff Mike Smith, who has been an invaluable partner as this investigation moves forward. I've been in touch with President Trump, with FBI Director Kash Patel. We are completely aligned with our state and federal partners as we work through this case. Now, this is a dark day for our state. It's a tragic day for our nation. And I want to be very clear that this is a political assassination. We are celebrating 250 years of the founding of this great nation. That founding document, the Declaration of Independence, that this great experiment on which we embarked together 250 years ago, that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. The first one of those is life. And today, a life was taken. Charlie Kirk was first and foremost a husband and a dad to two young children. He was also very much politically involved, and that's why he was here on campus. Charlie believed in the power of free speech and debate to shape ideas and to persuade people. Historically, our university campuses in this nation and here in the state of Utah have been the place where truth and ideas are formulated and debated. And that's what he does. He comes on college campuses and he debates. That is foundational to the formation of our country, to our most basic constitutional rights. And when someone takes the life of a person because of their ideas or their ideals, then that very constitutional foundation is threatened. Now, we have a person of interest in custody. The investigation is ongoing. But I want to make it crystal clear right now to whoever did this, we will find you. We will try you. And we will hold you accountable to the furthest extent of the law. And I just want to remind people that we still have the death penalty here in the state of Utah. Our nation is broken. We've had political assassinations recently in Minnesota. We had an attempted assassination on the governor of Pennsylvania. And we had an attempted assassination on a presidential candidate and former president of the United States, and now current president of the United States. Nothing I say can unite us as a country. Nothing I can say right now can fix what is broken. Nothing I can say can bring back Charlie Kirk. Our hearts are broken. We mourn with his wife, his children, his family, his friends. We mourn as a nation. If anyone in the sound of my voice celebrated even a little bit at the news of this shooting, I would beg you to look in the mirror and to see if you can find a better angel in there somewhere. I don't care what his politics are. I care that he was an American. We desperately need our country. We desperately need leaders in our country. But more than the leaders, we just need every single person in this country to think about where we are and where we want to be. To ask ourselves, is this it? Is this what 250 years has wrought on us? I pray that that's not the case. I pray that those who hated what Charlie Cook stood for will put down their social media and their pens and pray for his family, and that all of us will try to find a way to stop hating our fellow Americans. With that, we're happy to take a few questions.
Spencer Cox, by the way, he is the governor of Utah, and I don't know if anybody could say it better.
Do you or do you not have a suspected shooter in custody?
We have a person of interest in custody that is being interviewed right now. We do.
That is not George Zimm.
That is not George Zimm. That is correct.
Are you still searching or looking for another shooter or anybody else related to this?
Yes, we are actively looking for anyone and everyone who has any possible information relating to the shooting.
Can you tell us details about the suspect being taken into custody? Where, you know, how long ago?
We cannot at this point, but we will get you that information when we can.
Is there believed to be a second individual involved in the shooting?
At this point, there is no information that would lead us to believe that there is a second person involved.
Can you guys talk about the possible shooter?
Do you want to talk about what we know there?
Yeah. The only information we have on the suspect, the possible shooter, is taken from closed circuit TV here on campus. We do have that. We're analyzing it. But it is security camera footage, so you can kind of guess what the quality of that is. But we do know dressed in all dark clothing, but we don't have a much better description other than that.
Where did the shot came from?
The shot came from here on campus, from a location at
from
a fair...
A roof.
Potentially from a roof, yes. A longer distance shot from a roof.
So to clarify, with the security camera footage you have and the person of interest that's in custody, does that match up?
That's what we're trying to decipher right now.
So did FBI or DHS have anything on the threat board this morning?
I can't speak to that.
I'll just say that the investigation is ongoing, and as soon as we have further information, we will be sure to release it.
Any indications of foreign intelligence involvement?
As of now, I can't comment on any of that.
Thank you.
Can you talk a little bit about the security of the event itself? Who was there security-wise, and what happens on these kind of events?
Chief Long.
So my name is Jeff Long. I'm the police chief here at UVU, and I'll tell you right now, we are devastated. We're a small police department. We have a very large campus. We have over 40,000 students, and we love our students. We love our visitors, and we're devastated by what happened today. This is the police chief's nightmare. I'm very saddened for the Kirk family. I know his wife and parents found out about this. You know, obviously he's away from home. He's here in Utah. They find out by a police officer that visits their home. That's tragic. Nobody wants that. But I can tell you about our venue today. This was an open venue. This was outside. We did have six officers working that event. We had probably over 3,000 people that were in attendance. It sat down in kind of a bowl area here on the central campus. We have a waterfall area. And so he was kind of in a lower area, surrounded by buildings. You know, we had some plainclothes police officers that were in the crowd as well. You know, we train for these things, and you think you have things covered, and these things, unfortunately, they happen. You try to get your bases covered, and unfortunately today we didn't. And because of that, we had this tragic incident. So we did have officers there. We had Charlie Kirk's team. He has a security team that travels with him, and they were here with him when he was shot.
Was the gun recovered?
I'm sorry.
Was the weapon recovered?
At this point, I can't disclose that.
Was that person apprehended, and do you know who asked that question?
Say the question again. I don't know if I understand what you're saying.
When Charlie Kirk was shot, he was answering a question about mass shooting specifically. Was that person apprehended, and do you know who asked that question?
I do not. We do not have that at this moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have time for just one more question, so thank you.
Yeah. Question for the chief as well. Was it your team or Kirk's team or a combination of both that kind of set the security protocol for the event?
So we work together. You know, he has his team, and they do this all over the country. We all know that. This is not uncommon for them. They're very comfortable on campuses. And I was coordinating with his lead security guy. And we were working together.
Was this a sharpshooter type shot?
Ladies and gentlemen, those are all the questions that will be answered today. Again, thank you for covering this. We'll be updating you as soon as we have additional information through normal channels, working with law enforcement. Again, our deepest condolences to the Kirk family and to the students who were there today. I would just ask everyone everywhere to please pray for their family and pray for our country. We need it now more than ever. Thank you.
That's Spencer Cox, who's the governor of Utah, who I think speaks for a whole lot of us tonight, and very, very profound to what he said, Steve, I thought. And by the way, the questions were very good, too. They're asking, I think, all the things we want to know, other than the dingbat that wanted to know, you know, like they're supposed to be into the shooter's head now today. I mean, and it's a legitimate issue because he was shot the minute the mass shooting came up and the trans... suspect or, you know, the Minnesota
well,
annunciation thing. But otherwise, other questions were good, and I thought they did a good job of telling us what they can.
They just said the shooter was on the roof. I don't think they were asking the question from a roof or they were pulling out a gun. Two things that I got left disappointed. I thought you're right, Scott. The questions were generally pretty good. They did not ask, unless I missed it, what do we know about the firearm that was used? High-powered rifle, we can assume, but...
It did kind of come up because somebody was asked if they have the weapon in custody. He paused and said, I can't say right now.
Okay, but that's a different question than do we know what kind of a weapon was used?
How would you know that, though? If you don't have if they didn't see him and they're not pulling the bullet out of Charlie Kirk.
Well, you can ascribe characteristics to the shot, where it came from, how far away it was. I would have asked it. Second thing I'm disappointed, I hate when they say we're not taking any more questions. Why? You got somewhere else to go?
Here's I'll defend them here. They're in the middle of an investigation. And the further they pull strings, the more people say things they maybe shouldn't say to compromise the investigation.
I get it, Scott, but then you just say, you know what, I'm going to choose not to answer that question. Be tough enough to take the questions. And when it starts to get stupid, like, do we know what horoscope sign this guy used? Or then you're like, okay, I think we're done here. But when you have people that are asking, it feels like we don't want to answer any more than we have to here. Just be strong enough to say, we don't want to answer that question. We get it. It's an investigation going away. You can't say that to every question. At that point, I think we could.
Let the record reflect, this is the only time Steve and I have disagreed about anything tonight. So just so you know, I side on the side of law enforcement. They're in the middle of investigation.
I side on the side of getting information and doing your job.
All right. Anyway. And you are right. They could just say, sorry, we're not answering that. But people don't. They feel obligated to say, well, maybe.
Well, then they shouldn't.
And I even think when they asked about the gun, the guy kind of said, can't tell you that right now, which tells me he's got the gun.
Answer.
He's got the gun, it tells me, because he kind of hesitated.
Yeah, he would have said, you know, we've not gotten the gun yet or something like that. So very, very possible there. But overall, look.
We got a lot of information.
We can talk about City of Fargo taking 36 hours to do a press conference. These guys were out here in the matter of 6 hours.
Big time.
So, and can we just talk about Spencer Cox for a minute?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Could he have spoken more eloquently?
Oh, my word.
And by the way, we watched it, not a note, completely from the heart. That was very profound. Yeah. And he said everything that needed to be said without a sledgehammer.
Yes, except for the one part, which I love, where he goes, and I just want to remind everybody, in Utah, we still have the death penalty. Darn right you do, and I love that.
It's a true statement. So
absolutely.
Yeah, it might have been a sledgehammer, but it was a velvet hammer, maybe.
It needed to be said. And I think, you know, he's the governor of a conservative state. The people in Utah are pissed off that this happened on the university, on a campus in Utah. How'd you like to be that police chief? And you're thinking, how do we not, like, you know, do we not have somebody watching the rooftops or whatever? It's different than Secret Service and the presidential. That guy probably ain't going to sleep very good tonight. It's probably not fair.
I thought he answered that pretty well, though. They're, you know, they got 40,000 students. They're a small campus, whatever. And I also thought, and by the way, I know Charlie Kirk's security detail. I know these guys. Know them by name. Okay, and they won't go to a state that doesn't have concealed carry. Mm. They won't even take them to a place without concealed carry.
Smart.
So they're like Secret Service packing. Mm. Mm. Now, what I don't think they do is they don't go say, well, if somebody is on that angle, and that's where law enforcement has to do, you know, what are the threat assessments. But Charlie Kirk didn't have Secret Service protection. He probably should have. Mm. You know, if there's any after-action thing we could say now, he said, look, he was a member of the transition team. He's got all access to Mar-a-Lago, to the White House. Maybe he, you know, I don't know. A lot of these people pay for it themselves.
It's worth talking about. I don't know. You can't give it to everybody.
No, but what I'm getting at is they didn't have that apparatus at all. No. They had probably three, maybe four guys seriously packing around him to protect him. And if somebody started shouting and coming in, boom, they would have been taken out. But this was obviously a rifle shot, and I have heard this much about the shooter. Don't know where, but it was like 200 yards away is what they estimate.
Like six times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that's true or not, but we know that. So that, to me,
I thought they maybe even said that in the press conference.
They might have.
They might have.
That's a nugget that's important. And remember, Trump, the Butler, Pennsylvania situation, remember the sniper that took out the kid, the shooter? That was like 200 yards, and it was like, precision, boom, you're gone.
20 minutes too late, but yeah.
Yeah, right. He did shoot him before he did any more damage, but you're right. Yeah, yeah.
This guy stumbling around with a rifle on a roof, and they looked at him and, well, should we check this guy out?
Yeah. You're really hard on law enforcement, Joey. I'm telling you, this guy is like, he is pounding. I'm going to get Jesse Johnner on the phone. Jared,
you know me. If anybody, I'm the guy that says wait to like make rash decisions here. But some of these things, Scotty, come on. You can't. You're not. Are you going to argue with me that they shouldn't have shot that Butler guy?
Of course. But I mean, and again, you know, I mean, Trump himself says, look, I believe everything they're telling me. I don't think there was any more there. I think there is. By the way, I'm never. I'll take to my grave that kid on the roof in Butler, Pennsylvania, was a stooge, was a Lee Harvey Oswald like pawn that had been whatever. That there was more to this story than we'll ever know. But I'm not going to put it all on the people, you know, who ultimately were there to legitimately protect the president of the United States. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I will, but that's okay. Yeah. We can
twice
we
now
can
we disagree
without being disagreeable.
There we go. I'll still love you. Jared in Moorhead, you're next on the program here. We're going to go another 12 minutes.
I can't take these pictures anymore.
No, me either. I can't even look. I can't even look. I can't.
Those kids are so beautiful, yeah. And he and she, they're so happy, and yeah. Now he's dead, Scott.
I can't.
What the bleep is going on here?
Gerard in Moorhead, you tell us what the bleep is going on here. You're next.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Yeah, this is absolutely tragic, and you know, I probably disagreed with Charlie on probably 4 out of 5 things, but that doesn't excuse what happened today. And you know, a wife is without her husband, and 2 kids are without their dad. And Steve, I can hear the grief in your voice, and Mr. Holstrom, I sure hope you can. I'm not a praying man, but I sure hope that you can work through this grief. This is absolutely tragic, and like I said, even though I disagreed with Kirk on multiple things, I mean, there's no excuse for this. This is absolutely atrocious.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we'll get through it. Charlie's family will get through it. It's just, I think when it's so senseless and when, you know, Gerard, this may be a little harder, and I want to be super respectful here. This might be a little harder for you to understand because it's someone maybe from the other side of the aisle, but I'm sure you have felt a bond with people on your side too. But Charlie Kirk is responsible, in my mind, when I take a look at the things that conservatives, I'm not talking about a certain political candidate, because I pray to only one God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But Charlie Kirk is so responsible for turning the tide politically in the country where we can get back to things that we know that conservative ideas and conservative principles, they work, they just do. And Charlie is so responsible for returning that. That's why it hits so hard, is that there are very few. I mean, Scott, let's call roll on the biggest thought leaders on the conservative movement in this country right now. Charlie Kirk is either at or near the top, and he did it with the kids.
There's no disagreeing on his hard work and him hitting the pavement. I mean,
yeah,
I
so that's why it hits hard.
Independents have anyone close to that.
I can't explain
his hard
it.
Work was unmatched.
I can't explain it, but I have a ability, and Steve knows this, and Steve is very different. He wears his emotions on his sleeves. I do not. I have this weird compartmentalization that allows me to, if I go to a funeral of someone that I know had a friendship with Jesus, a walk with Jesus, a solid faith, there's a part of me that can't be sad. There's a part of me that says, what I believe about them tells me they're with Jesus. So they just won the lotto. Now, I cannot look at the pictures of Erica, his wife, whom I know, and his children, who literally he would text me pictures of within minutes of them being born, saying, look at these precious little babies. Okay? So that's the connection I have to him. And I weep for her, and I weep for those 2 kids, and I weep for America. You might not think this, Gerard, but we lost a warrior today. We lost a Rush Limbaugh.
I was with you there. He was definitely a warrior, even though I disagreed with him politically. He's definitely a warrior, and I can respect that. I just didn't agree with his political
beliefs. That's okay. That's okay. I mean, but we did. We did, and we lost a guy who said what we think every day.
I mean, assuming that I don't think he's a warrior is that's a bit harsh, don't you think?
No, I'm just saying that I'm just trying to express to you kind of how our emotions are, where they may be in a different place than yours are, and I believe everything you said. You're just like, this is terrible,
well,
even though I don't agree with the guy.
Calling us today, Gerard. Yeah, we need more Gerards and Matts from Moorhead to call and be part of this conversation.
Yeah, I usually call in and disagree with you, so I'm glad I can call in again.
100%.
And I wasn't trying to pick a fight with you at all. I was just trying to tell you, look, I'm a praying person. Steve's a praying person. We have strong faith here. He happens to be a Baptist. I'm a Catholic, whatever. But my point is, the reason I'm not weeping openly right now about this, even though I believe we lost a warrior, I believe we lost a good Christian man who now has a wife and 2 kids that don't have a dad, is because I know where he's going. And I know his wife even knows that. So that's how I'm not bawling like a baby right now. Yeah, and the compartmentalization is to say, I'm going to park that over there, and over here I'm going to worry and pray for America. Because I believe we are at a crossroads. When somebody of Charlie Kirk's stature can be assassinated for what he says, which is not radical, which is not crazy, which is common sense in my view, and maybe a little bit different politically than you think, but he got shot today, he got murdered today because he loved free speech. This is insane. This is a five alarm fire in this country. That's what I'm worried about today.
Yeah, and Gerard,
yeah, I would agree.
Appreciate you giving us a call. We'll let you go here. And I'm just going to say this. I know on my show, Scott, and I believe this about yours, although you're the only one that can really answer. When we feel like someone has done something legitimately wrong on our side, we call it out. I do, at least. And I always say, I'm trying to call balls and strikes as honestly as I can. It's why I make some diehard Trump supporters really mad. Because
I was going to say, it doesn't make the audience happy all the time.
I don't make the audience happy all the time. And what I want to say to my friends like Gerard and Matt, and I did it with Matt more than Gerard, is let's have a little bit more of that policing on your side, too. Because I know we have it on this side, and we need to have people on the left saying, yo, hey, Maxine Waters, Kamala Harris, Al Sharpton, whatever, you people that are our thought leaders on our side, this is not right for you to be saying the things that you are saying. That's all I can hope. We need it on the right, and we need it on the left. And if we don't get that, there's no chance that we can ever come together, because then that chasm is just way too deep.
Jim in Fargo is next. It's 5 to 6. Unless any of their breaking news happens, at 6 after 6, we'll go to Mark Levin. And then we, here, will go to the Newman Center at NDSU for a prayer vigil. And we're going to leave our phones in our vehicles. We're going to unplug from everything, and we're going to pray. And we'd invite you to join us as well, if you'd like. Again, there will be no service. There will be no preaching. There will be simply a church for an hour or however long you want to stay.
And we'll do this tomorrow on What's on Your Mind. We'll do this tomorrow on the Steve Hallstrom Show. More chances for you to call in. But we think that Mark Levin is going to have a unique perspective and maybe some things that we haven't even thought of yet that he'll be talking about tonight. So we think it makes sense to join his show at the start at 6:06 tonight and kind of give him a fresh start. Not that if we didn't have anything else going on, we'd stay here all night and just have you call and dump your bucket, whether you're a Matt or a Gerard or a Jim or anybody else. So, just want you to know, we want to be here for you as much as possible, but we do want to be part of that vigil coming up tonight.
All right. Let's go to, Jim in Fargo's next. Go ahead, Jim.
Yes, my flag has been at half-mast since this happened. And God bless Charlie Kirk, and God bless America.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, and well, is it half staff or half mast? I always mess that up.
I can either way.
But either way, it's at the White House too. So you know, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump did it within a couple hours, less than an hour from it. Us hearing the news. So I need to go home and do the same thing. You're exactly right.
And Gerard can go where the sun don't shine.
Yeah.
We welcome all opinions here.
Differently. He was cordial about it, at least.
Yeah, we welcome all opinions here.
I get it.
Yours include, Jim.
Yeah, we have permission to be honest about our feelings, and whatever you feel is fine today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's more pictures of Charlie Kirk and his kids on TV, and I want them to stop.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to stop right now. Do you notice something about all the pictures, by the way?
With kids?
Yeah.
Well, you saw the polling from NBC News. Conservative men want kids and families.
No, he's got two, and he's only 31. He's only been married. But every time you see a picture with Charlie and Erica and the kids, you don't see the kids' faces.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people do that.
Well, but yeah, my point is that's the life he had to live.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he can't even, have his have his kids' faces. They do it very beautifully. They do. I'm going to go to Mike next, and then the one and only Jay Thomas wants to weigh in on this, too. So go to Mike. Mike, you're up on... the program. Go ahead.
Thank you. Like I said, I listen to Charlie Kirk every day on your radio station, and I am so heartbroken for his family and for what has happened to him. And I just watched a clip from the House of Representatives, and they the I'm gonna say it. The Democrats were very rude, and Johnson had a heck of a time getting him under control during a moment of prayer. I tell you what, this country is so screwed up. We have got to turn it around, or we're not going to be a country anymore.
So let me get this straight, if I heard you correctly. And we're watching nothing other than the coverage and what's going on and trying to, you know, talk on the radio and talk to people. So we're seeing a little. I just said to Steve earlier, I'm going on a 24-hour fast of social media. I won't go watch them people say things about people we love and use this as a political moment. I won't. I can't. But did you just tell me that there was a moment of prayer in the U.S. House?
Yeah.
Okay. And the moment of prayer typically would be silence, and the Democrats were yelling, or what?
Well, they were silenced for a short time, and then they started in, and Johnson was pounding a thing, order in the House, and the Democrats were spouting off in the background. It was absolutely disgraceful.
That's disgusting. That's exactly what we're talking about here. Come on. How hard is it? Just sit on your hands and shut your mouth and think whatever you want to think.
That's exactly right. And it's the same thing that happened when Trump gave that speech, and that little kid was getting the, you know,
the badge, the badge. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. With the cancer, that young boy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how they just sat there and held up their signs. The Democrats are evil people. A lot of them are, because you wouldn't do that if you didn't hate our country.
Well, again, there's a stone cold heart that is the root of any of that. And whether you're a Democrat, a liberal, a walleye, or a northern pike, if you have a cold stone heart, bad things happen. And that's what we need to pray for in this country. Thank you, Mike. 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
This is WZFG, Fargo Moorhead, Dilworth, USA. It's KTGO. Tioga, Watford City, Williston.
AM 1090 and FM 92.7.
Right on. And at BakkenBuzz.com. If you don't have the app yet, you get to take the flag west with you everywhere with the new BakkenBuzz app.
Plus McKenzie County Farmer.
Yeah, it's got a little player on it. Anyway, so thank you for listening. East, west, north, and south. Appreciate you. My name's Scott Hannon. Steve Hallstrom's here. We've had special coverage most of the afternoon since we learned from a post on social media by Donald Trump, the 47th president of the United States, that Charlie Kirk, a conservative commentator, a activist politically who helped elect Donald Trump, was dead at the age of 31. Wrap your mind around that. At 7 o'clock tonight, we will do what really all we can do at the Newman Center on the campus of NDSU, where Charlie's been. And we will join people of all faiths in a prayer vigil. So we're going to go to Mark Levin in 4 minutes, Steve?
Yes.
Okay.
But Jay Thomas is standing by right now.
Okay, yeah. Jay who? The great Jay Thomas, ladies and gentlemen. What's on your mind, Jay?
Hey, guys, sorry I had to leave the building at 5 so I couldn't hook up with you. Then my phone was dead, so I just got it charged up.
You got 3 minutes, bro. Shoot.
Yeah, say what you need to say, bud.
I'll tell you. Okay, I'm going to say what I got to say. This is a sad day. This country is broken, 100%, just like the Utah governor said. It's broken. This stuff has got to stop. These political assassinations, and that's what this was, it's got to stop. I mean, I am absolutely, and I shouldn't say I'm shocked by it, but the just the absolute disgusting things that are being said on social media. I don't understand where people's heads are. We can't even disagree on simple things anymore in this country. I mean, I am not a fan of Governor Walz. I was never a fan of Joe Biden. God forbid one of those two loses their lives or they're assassinated. I would never go out there and say, oh, I'm happy for this. Mm-hmm. That Charlie Kirk has a right in America to have his opinion. And he's a father, he's a husband, and now his life is gone because some nut job decided that he can't in America have an opinion. Look, I'm not a big political guy. I just started getting into Charlie Kirk about 6 months ago. I started watching his videos when he's on campus. The guy was a fair man. Come up, debate me. He did debating the way debating used to be and should be.
Yeah.
He allowed people to speak their mind, and he didn't talk over them. He let them say what they had to say, and then he would debate him. And he loses his life over this? This is disgusting.
No, it's hard to argue. It's hard to argue with anything you said, Jay. And it's a very dangerous time in America. I've said to Steve a few times here that I don't know that today is the day to sort all this out and figure it out. That's why I'm going to go on this 24-hour fast to social media, because I have no doubt on my social media right now, Instagram, Facebook, and X, I put up a thing that said "Pray for Charlie Kirk" and a picture of him. That's all I said. I bet if I go there, look at 50% of the comments will be some version of, you know, what you're talking about.
Don't
but
look
I just,
at it.
I don't, I'm not going to look,
don't
at,
look
it.
At it.
I don't think anybody should look at it. My point is, you know, it's not the time for that.
It's not the time for it. And we have to be careful too of not lumping every person who's ever voted blue into you all want these people dead. I don't think, my last comment, guys, I don't think we're going to have a civil war. I don't think we're going to have big retaliation. If it was Donald Trump, I'd be scared to death. I don't feel that that's going to happen with Charlie Kirk.
I wish I could say that is my sentiment.
Just
correct me if I'm wrong, Jay.
It's bad.
Yeah, it's bad. And it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Civil war, though?
I don't know if you call it a civil war, but I will say this. Here's my viewpoint. It could happen. Don't be naive to think it couldn't happen. That's all I'd say.
Yeah, it's not a civil war in the sense of the actual civil war, but this is, I'm afraid this is going to be, okay, you got our guy, now we're coming after you. You know what I'm saying?
There could be a case.
It's a back and forth.
Hey, we got to run, buddy. We're up against the heartbreak end of the show. Thanks, Jay. Appreciate you calling in. Thanks for being with me on this extended version of the Steve Alsham Show. Scott, thanks for hanging with us. Mark Levin is coming up next.
He is, and we thank all of our listeners. We'll continue this conversation tomorrow right here on the Flag and WDY. Off we go to Mark Levin.